What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Thursday on the Horn, it's a tradition unlike any other. It's a Buck Off Thursday. Who has earned it? The Buck Off, the Buck On. Pat on the back, kick in the rear. How about Brett Beatty? We'll hear it coming up. It's also the lead story on SportsCenter tonight, or this morning, with the late Travis Cavalier hitting a home run in his first at bat. What a scene at Atlanta, whatever they call it, Truist Stadium now. Mm-hmm. Truist Stadium in Atlanta. We'll get you that coming up. Also, a lot of football conversation. Baylor at number 7 in our countdown. We're back into the Big 12. They are our highest-ranked Big 12 team, and we've got plenty to dive into on that conversation as well. Also, as we said, according to ESPN and Pete Thamel, the College Football Playoff Board, the 11 college presidents and chancellors who make up College Football's Playoff Board of Managers, had a meeting on Monday in which the discussion of taking football at its highest levels away from the NCAA, creating a different form of governance and maybe even themselves taking control of major college football, whether that's just the Power 5 or the Power 10 that play at the high level, that all to be determined. But early conversations being had of something we've talked about a lot, who's going to control this, because we know it's not the NCAA. So these are big conversations, big storylines out
there.
You
go from having all these rules in college football basically to having none.
Yeah.
So you got to have some sort of law and some sort of governing body that's going to at least, you know, put some constraints on what this NIL stuff is and hopefully make it even and fair for everybody.
And it'll never be fair for everybody, because that's a word that's hard to achieve, but a strive for it, I think, is a way to go.
Right.
And that's going to be the conversation of the upcoming years, in addition to further conference realignment and how it all lands and shakes out with TV deals and everything's coming. That is the voice of Johnny Rogers, who is in-house this morning. JR, of course, one day will be the mayor of Austin. I always say that. Do you still want to be the mayor of Austin?
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm just like wondering. But JR also, of course, one of the anchors of our live and local Saturday morning coverage here on the Horn. As Bucky is out today and tomorrow, he'll be back on Monday. Zay Collier is here as we count down days to the college football season. Hey, let's get to those headlines, the trending topics, and make sure you're fully aware and in the know as you get up and out. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll get to that baseball in a moment. How about Texas football? After an off day yesterday for the Longhorns, ahead of a practice today and then tomorrow, followed by a really important scrimmage coming up on Saturday, another one of those end-of-the-week tests. Team did hear from a special guest yesterday, the international best-selling author and guest speaker, John Gordon. Motivator was on hand to talk to the team about leadership, culture, and teamwork. As for the big storylines of camp, Texas quarterback competition is certainly one of them, with Quinn Ewers and Hudson Card. In an interview with ESPN this week, head coach Steve Sarkisian revealed that he, quote, has an idea of who the Longhorn starter will be. He didn't want to name the name, but he did add he hopes to tell the players soon. So we'll keep you posted on that front. Baseball last night, we mentioned it, but as we told you yesterday, the first-place New York Mets earlier this week called up their top overall prospect, the slugging prospect Brett Beatty, out of Lake Travis High School, and then drafted in the 2019 draft. Well, it certainly didn't take long for the big former Cavalier to make an impact, his first at-bat in the big leagues.
Gets a breaking ball and hits it out to right. Acuna goes back to the warning track, looks off, and it's out of here! How about that? Brett Beatty hits a two-run homer in his first major league at-bat. Second pitch he sees, and Beatty hits it out of the yard. A moment to remember for Brett Beatty and his family. A two-run homer, and it's 4-0 New York.
Unbelievable scene there in Atlanta. Came off of the former Astro, Jake Odorizzi. Mets went on to win that game 9-7. Also last night, Houston Astros got back in the win column after blowing late leads and back-to-back nights on the south side of Chicago. They win it 3-2. Excuse me, Rangers lost to Oakland 7-2. Ahead of that game in Arlington last night, another major move by the Rangers 2 days after they fired their manager, Chris Woodward. Team owner Ray Davies announced the firing of longtime team president John Daniels. That ends his 17-year run. Top that organization, last six were losing seasons. Current GM Chris Young will take over all aspects of the team's baseball operations. Round Rock last night, Express fall to El Paso 7-5. Same two again tonight. It'll be a Bud Light Thirsty Thursday at Dell Diamond. Full NBA schedule was released yesterday, and it's now official. To celebrate the franchise's 50th anniversary, the San Antonio Spurs are going to be hosting four special games this upcoming season. Two of them will be right here in Austin at the new Moody Center. Moody Center will play host to the Spurs in the final two regular season games of the year. Portland Trail Blazers on April 6th. Minnesota Timberwolves 2 days later on April the 8th. Also from the NBA, Lakers and LeBron James agree to a two-year, $97 million contract extension. Includes a player option for a third year.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Buck off to me, Johnny Rogers. During that Brett Beatty highlight, I took a sip of water and it.
Yeah, I thought you were about to lose it.
Wrong piped me. Ding near.
I don't know if you were tearing up over the story or if it was just.
I just took a little sip of water while I was listening to the play-by-play call of a special moment for a young local prospect, Brett Beatty. That was really cool last night. And as I mentioned off the top, you played high school football alongside Drew Brees, so you've seen this. Zay, did you ever see one of your guys you grew up playing against or with go on to huge success like we think Brett Beatty could be on his way to?
Nah, none of the homies ever made it.
None of the homies ever made it. Oh, man.
He got close, but
didn't make it out of South Austin?
Yeah, got out of South Austin. My man, Jeremy Green, went to Stanford and entered the draft a little bit too early, 2011, where it was very guard-heavy, but Green had a very good career.
Green had a very good career. Yeah, he did. That Steve Sarkisian story is interesting. I don't know if there's any news to it other than, you know, he told ESPN's Chris Lowe that it's more than he said to anybody locally that he has an idea. Now, he has said locally that he wants to make the announcement sooner than he did last year in a quarterback battle. But the fact that he in his mind knows who he wants to go with, who's going to go with. He's just waiting for the right time. No, we can all guess who that is. People will say it's Hudson Card. People say it's Quinn Ewers.
Right.
We'll all find out. But
we get 2 weeks till kickoff?
We are 2 weeks from Saturday. Two weeks from Saturday is the first game. So yeah. 16 days.
You would hope the head coach would have an idea of who the starting quarterback is going to be.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think he knows. I think he's just given a little bit more time, keep that competition going up in practice. But I do think, you know, going into game week, you're definitely going to have to name the starting quarterback.
Well, the fact that he told that to Chris Lowe of ESPN would tell me that, you know, and this isn't some breaking news, that he going into camp, he kind of knew where he was leaning. And then it's what's revealed itself over the first, you know, week and a half of camp is just solidified his opinion, and he's heading there. I don't know to claim to know what that is. Everybody can have their opinion on it. But we've had those debates, and we'll continue to have them. But Steve Sarkisian with a call to make. I mean, you wonder if this scrimmage on Saturday, you know, if the schedule this week is the same as last week, today's practice will be a really intense physical practice where they'll go hard. They'll go a little bit lighter on Friday and then into the scrimmage on Saturday. Which, as we've said, you know, the Saturday scrimmage last week, the lead story was the injuries, and there were the injuries to key players. But at the same time, Sark talked about the energy. They went 100 plays. I mean, they went all in. It's on the stadium field. They're trying to simulate as much of a game as they can because, unlike the NFL, college doesn't get preseason football. So they try to simulate that on Saturdays.
And it's a new team. I mean, there's an incredible amount of turnover from last year to this year, kind of one of the new nuances of the new college rules as far as transferring from school to school. So Texas has got a brand new football team that's going to be on the field, and they've really started developing that young talent. I've been reading up where it looks like two, maybe even three true freshman offensive linemen are going to see some serious action.
Yeah, and Kelvin Banks, I think, is going to be the left tackle. I think folks who were out at that open practice on Tuesday saw him, and he ran first team reps the whole time, and not only bringing the talent, the size, the strength, but also the leadership that they're looking for on that he holds his teammates accountable. He doesn't act like a freshman. He got walked in here expecting to come in and compete and help this team win. Devon Campbell is another one. Cole Hudson is another one.
Cameron Williams.
And heck, at this point, with the injury to Junior Engelau, the Longhorns really don't have a backup center. That could be the Westlake Chaparral, Connor Robertson.
Go Shaps.
Would be your backup center. So, and that's
and Cam Williams too. I mean, they've got that great wall of Texas that Kyle Flood got into the recruiting class last year. Should make a very big impact this year
quickly. And that's the question, right? I mean, this is who do you guys think will be the starter? I mean, that's I still think it's going to be Quinn Ewers, but I hesitate when we talk about these three. You could have three starting offensive linemen who are freshmen. Mm-hmm. People say what they want about Quinn Ewers. I had this debate with the Twitter folks yesterday or the texters. And yes, I know he's not a true freshman, but Let's not forget his age is that of a freshman.
Correct.
He did spend the fall at Ohio State last year, but as we know, he didn't get to Ohio State until almost through their training camp. Remember,
right.
I mean, they had gone 3 weeks of training camp before he enrolled, so he was way behind when he got there. And then I heard Chip Brown yesterday on with Harge in the afternoon. I didn't know this, but then he got there, got COVID. So, you know, let's just say Quinn Ewers, when he got to Ohio State, had no real chance to compete for that job.
Right, yeah.
And by the, you know, once the season starts full bore, you're running scout team. So I don't know what his experience level. So the point of that is I still kind of see him as a first year player, whether you want to call him a freshman or a redshirt freshman. He's very inexperienced in playing college football. So I think it's going to be Quinn Ewers would be my guess. But at the same time, Johnny, I mean, Hudson Card is 3 years in this program. And this is where the debate comes. If your quarterback who's been here 3 years in the program and 2 years in this offense hasn't separated from a brand new quarterback,
there you go.
You might go with the brand new quarterback.
Process of elimination.
Yeah, you might go with the kid who's got the higher ceiling.
Yep.
And know you might take some lumps. You know that it's only year two for the build. And if you're going with some young offensive linemen, maybe build it with a young quarterback who's going to be the future of the position.
Well, and you get those young offensive linemen some experience, so when Arch Manning gets the campus, he's going to be well protected.
Yeah, well, that's part of the strategy of recruiting Arch Manning was, hey, because remember when they brought him on his final visit, recruiting visit with his parents, and Cooper was here. They specifically brought this whole line of Great Wall of Texas in to introduce them to Arch, and the kids who are competing now for starting jobs. I wanted to meet Arch, and this is going to be the group protecting you, not just the freshmen.
He should feel real safe.
Yeah, that's the hope for Texas. But yeah, we'll see if that decision comes down in the coming days. The big fingers crossed is let's shut down these injuries. The injury's already impactful enough. The last thing you need is more of that. On a very thin depth chart as is, or a pretty thin depth chart. All right, Johnny Rogers here. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. That's Tom McKay and his team at avconsultations.com. They are the best. They do all of the home theaters and home sports rooms and movie watching. They do all the restaurants and sports bars all over town, too, so they can certainly do your house to whatever you're looking for. They're the best. avconsultations.com. Johnny, the NFL quickly, because that is you have two brothers, both older, who are coaching in the National Football League. Your brother Jeff is essentially he's the assistant head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Correct.
Runs that operation along with Cliff Kingsbury. Give me I haven't heard your thoughts on the off-season soap opera drama with one Kyler Murray, the scrubbing of all social media, the contract negotiations, the seemingly, stories into the media, both sides of it. And then the new contract, and obviously then the contract included language about studying the playbook and things that we talked about. What was your whole take on that? What do you hear from whatever your brother will reveal to you?
Well, he doesn't reveal much. I can tell you that. I promise you that. But, you look at the Arizona Cardinals and the relationship between Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury's been recruiting Kyler Murray since the eighth grade, right? He's been trying to get this kid into his system, finally gets him in the NFL, built an offense around him. Now, I think Arizona is going to have a great year. I don't know if they jump off to a quick start like they had in the past. Okay, you got DeAndre Hopkins, who's been suspended for the first six games.
That's huge, man.
Okay, so that's going to be big. So now you got to depend on people like A.J. Green to step up.
Well,
okay?
Marquise Hollywood-Brown, if
Hollywood
he can stop
Brown
speeding,
steps in, yeah.
Stop getting speeding tickets. And I think one of the key figures in Arizona is Rondell Moore.
No doubt.
The youngster
no doubt.
Out of Purdue. I think he's a big figure early, along with James Conner, the running back, to help Kyler Murray and make sure he's studying his playbook. But
and don't forget about Zach Ertz at tight end. Kyler Murray has weapons. So if they're going to finally take that step to make it a little bit further, they're going to have to rely a lot on Kyler, on Zach Ertz. They've got a great offensive line as well. But I really see what's going to end up hopefully propelling Arizona onto that next level is the defensive side of the ball. Okay, you still got Buda Baker coming back. You got Isaiah Simmons, who Clemson. One of those hybrid players that, wasn't...
Positionless football player.
They're still trying to figure out his position, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think you got, he's going to step up this year. It should be a big year for him. And you can never forget about J.J. Watt, okay? The leader of the defense.
If he ending
towards the end of his career. But when you got a guy like him on defense and you got a guy like A.J. Green on offense, that is stability at those... at those leadership positions. So Kyler Murray doesn't have to do everything.
Well, but they also need the quarterback to grow up. I think that's fair to say. I mean, that is an assessment. And, send J.J. Watt over to the house, and they'll study the playbook together. Hey, I mean, no one was more diligent about those kind of things than J.J. Watt. But, again, A.J. Green and J.J. Watt, the A.J. and the J.J., you can't lead from the tub. You got to stay healthy.
Correct.
I mean, both those guys have to stay healthy if they're going to be impactful leaders. And then you're turning – and DeAndre Hopkins showing his great veteran leadership with a PED suspension. He's out 6 games. That's brutal.
Yeah.
For the Cardinals.
So we'll be looking forward to week 7 and, when we get him back,
week 7 back. And beyond. And there's still a lot of football to be played. If you can tread water until DeAndre gets back, then your weapons really increase because, DeAndre is a big-time player, but that is a foolish move by him. Your other brother is the D-line coach with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Correct.
Under Brandon Staley.
Yep.
Now, this is the team. I mean, if I'm in Vegas and I'm saying, where can I get some good value on a team that can actually win the Super Bowl, I would look at the Chargers. Buffalo is obviously one of the favorites. We know the Rams are the defending champions, mm-hmm. and they play in that same building. Rams are good. But, man, the L.A. Chargers, they have an elite-level quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yep.
They have a ton of talent on offense. Mm-hmm. They've added – and now on defense, they've invested. They just signed Derwin James to the big contract at safety. He is the captain of their defense, speaking of keeping people healthy. Khalil Mack can still play on the opposite side of Joey Bosa. They signed J.C. Jackson, the cornerback, and as a free agent, the best free agent corner in the market. So if they can play some defense, and Brandon Staley can learn to manage games better, in my opinion, the whole analytics debate about that young coach, that team is as talented, 1-53, as any roster in pro football.
Yeah, I was disappointed at the end of the year last year when they – all they had to do was tie the game against the Raiders last game of the season, and it looked like it was going to happen that way. Staley calls a timeout. They put in their offense, run one more play, kick a field goal, go into the playoffs. Chargers are on the doorstep, and you're right. They're able to go all in and attract talent like Khalil Mack, attract talent like Morgan Fox and those guys.
Kyle Van Noy,
because you got Herbert on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
So – they're all in right now. They've got the weapons on offense. Their defense looks to be stout. Hopefully special teams come into play and the Chargers can take that next step and Herbert can become that guy.
Well, the issue arguing against the Chargers is that division.
Division's nuts.
Division's brutal.
Absolutely.
With the Raiders, Chiefs, and Broncos. Also all, some would say, Super Bowl contenders themselves. So a lot of football. Which one of your brothers would you put money on that? Guess what? If one of the Rodgers brothers would be coaching in the Super Bowl this year, which would it be? They're different conferences. Maybe they play each other. I don't know. But Arizona or the Chargers?
I'm going Chargers.
Chargers. Interesting. Yeah. They're in a tougher conference, but have the better team.
I have more confidence in Herbert than I do Kyler right now.
Yep,
I agree. And with what LA has done on the defensive side of the ball is a bigger difference maker. I think they're going to make that next step.
Oh, that's interesting. Chargers must see TV this year. And they're going to be fun to watch. They were fun to watch last year. And Justin Herbert is ready
because week 2, the Chargers head to Kansas City to play in Arrowhead. And that'll be the first really big game for those guys.
That's fun. And, of course, the Cowboys play the Chargers this weekend.
Indeed.
In NFL preseason action out there. They're actually scrimmaging or practicing with the Chargers today and tomorrow. And then they'll play them on Saturday in the second preseason game. Let's hope there's not 17 penalties. But
don't forget the big Thanksgiving Day matchup, Rodgers Bowl
Day
2.
Or weekend.
Or excuse me, Thanksgiving weekend, that Sunday, you got the Chargers heading to Scottsdale for Rodgers Bowl 2.
And you'll be there.
I'll be there. Whole family will be there. That'll be
cool.
Fun.
That is cool with Jeff and of course, your father will be there as well. That is awesome. So there's Johnny Rodgers. Got a couple brothers coaching in the NFL. Good insight behind the scenes on those two teams, and both with high aspirations this year. Steve Sarkisian hoping to make a decision on his starting quarterback here soon. Several people weighed in and said, guys, it seems foolish to wait. The players are polarized towards the choice. The longer you wait, the more division. If you know who the quarterback is, go ahead and announce it. I think that's right. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think we've talked from the beginning. If you know where you're going,
go.
And I think the decision was easier for Dave Aranda, but we've given Dave Aranda credit. And I thought Ari Temkin made a great point last hour talking about coaches and decisions. Dave Aranda, announced, and they're, by the way, they're the number 7 team in our Horn Top 20 countdown, so a spotlight on the Bears today, the defending Big 12 champs. I mean, Dave Aranda coming out of spring practice announced Blake Shapen as his quarterback.
Right.
And as we've told you the stories of Gary Bohannon and his family, very close. Gary Bohannon was the quarterback last year. He's got pictures of Gary Bohannon with his kids in his office and has a high opinion of the kids. So Dave Aranda did right by Gary Bohannon. I'm naming Blake Shapen the quarterback. That gives you, Gary, an opportunity to go play somewhere else and transfer out, which he did. He went to South Florida, and he'll be playing quarterback there, or Central Florida, one of the Florida schools. So he's going to get to play this year, and Blake Shapen moves forward. I appreciate that in a lot of ways. It's the right thing to do if you're the coach. And I thought, you know, Ari pointing out Brian Kelly, who does not have the reputation of a Dave Aranda. There's a kid, Miles Brennan, who he said he talked back into staying, not transferring out after spring practice, and talked him back. And Miles Brennan was running third team at LSU in camp this week, and he just retired from football.
Yeah, I'm done.
Just retired from football because he didn't feel like he got a straight shot from the head coach. Dave Aranda did the opposite. As for Steve Sarkisian, because look at the Baylor situation, Blake Shapen got to run that team all summer. I mean, he knew it was his team. He got to run the show. I think Sark's in a different spot where if it's going to be Quinn Ewers, you probably didn't want to name that immediately. Let those two compete all summer long. If it's going to be Quinn, I think it's if he was going to name somebody, it probably should have been Hudson Card to start the summer because he's had the experience, which leads a lot of people to connect dots and say it's going to be Quinn. But at some point, you got to make Quinn because the locker room needs to know. The locker room needs to know who their leader is.
Correct.
That's something Baylor got to have the luxury of all summer of, that's our guy. This is our quarterback. And Gary's not here. I mean, that was there's no real debate because the division argument comes in, you know, but someone needs the job. And I think the locker room needs to know who the leader of their football team is.
And I think you'll see both in that first game. They're going to get both guys in there, get them some experience. But really, whoever's starting that week two against Alabama, that's the guy. I mean, that's the most confidence that Sarkisian and that staff's going to have. And I mean, it's the biggest game of their career. I mean, it's the biggest game for Texas all year. I mean, this is, if Texas could somehow figure out a way to beat Alabama, that puts Texas right back in the hunt to be kind of one of those national title contenders.
This year?
Yeah. If they could beat Alabama?
Oh, if they beat Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they can somehow figure that out. I understand that, but shock the world, shock the nation.
Well, you win that game, then with three freshmen on the offensive line and a first-year starter at quarterback. I mean, gosh, you win that game, then, you know, all bets are off of your ceiling.
And then whoever it is that has the big game, whether that's Quinn Ewers or Bijan, jumps up into the lead for the Heisman.
I'm with you, but that's a massive if.
That we're drinking the Kool-Aid over here.
That's a huge if. if they win it, yes. If they're competitive and it's a good ball game, that would give you some optimism. But again, this might be Nick Saban's most complete football team coming in.
They're
going
to be stacked.
They're stacked,
and you know that Saban has been eyeing that. That's his big game.
And that's the other part. The four coaches with Alabama ties have had all offseason to, you know, try to kind of come up with something that maybe will throw it at Nick Saban in that ball game. But as I've been saying, Alabama can only beat you one time.
Right.
I don't care what the score is. It's a one loss, and you've got 11 other ball games, and you're talented enough, even with young players at key positions, to still be on the level with the other teams you play, the other 11 teams on your schedule. One other note in our coach's corner with Johnny hanging out, Brett McMurphy, always breaking good news over big news over at stadium.com. Has a tweet this morning that says, The Big Ten will announce its historic media rights agreement, the largest in college athletics history, later this morning. So expect that with the Big Ten. We've told you it's going to be a heavy Fox presence. Fox will essentially own the major factors of the Big Ten. That 11 o'clock window, that noon window with the big noon kickoff game.
Yeah.
And then also CBS and NBC are a partner in this. Reports that CBS put in $350 million, NBC put in $350 million. CBS will get the mid-afternoon 2:30 game each week, and then NBC, the Peacock Network, will get the night game, the night primetime game. I expect that to be announced, and yes, that's the contract that is expected to net all of the Big Ten teams over $100 million annually in media rights when it kicks in.
And is that... That's probably the reason why USC and UCLA...
That's exactly reason why USC...
I think UCLA was about to just... Shut down shop.
Well, you know, Fox's headquarters is in L.A. It didn't. They're USC and UCLA are in L.A., and there's a reason that they jumped out of the Pac-12 and went that direction. We'll come back, continue these big stories on a Buck Off Thursday. Buck Ons as well as Zay Collier will lead us through a hot or not topic or two before the end of this hour. It is National Fajita Day. Fajita Day. So we can also take your thoughts on your favorite spot for great fajitas. Johnny, you have one off the top of your head? Favorite fajitas?
What's the place right down here in Westlake that they've got the skillet fajitas, Lupe Tortilla.
Love me some Lupe Tortilla. Right,
but Mottie's is my all-time favorite in Austin.
All right, there you go. National Fajita Day. We're coming right back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, coming up next hour to be our Flex segment. It's good stuff. With, you know, Flex is what it's all about. When you see Brett Beatty hit the home run last night,
yep.
You know, that's, you know, the awareness of these young players at a younger age at the high school level who are going to go off and do great things in college and potentially major league and, you know, pro sports. Pretty cool to see. A lot to do, and you know, one of the real quick, one of the big backers of our Flex push, especially our push to have a band of the week, Johnny.
Okay.
Band of the week is our good friends over at Data Savior. Let me tell you about them. They're brand new to the station and love Brian and his team there. Listen, do you know that if you're a small business owner, 95% of businesses are small businesses, and they most of them do not have a dedicated IT pro on staff. So you have to ask yourself, who's in charge of your IT and its backups? Are they qualified, protected as they should be? Loss of data can cause a financial disaster. My friend Brian has seen it all too often, whether it's a hack or a fire, flood, or theft, and all of a sudden you don't have any of your business intel and info. That is bad news, without a doubt. And that's why you need Data Savior. They will back your all of your IT equipment or data up 24 hours a day, provide daily updates, and they become a partner with you, not a vendor. They're not a vendor that you pay. They are a partner with you on your team. They are the best, and all you have to do is go to their website, datasavior.com. That's datasavior.com. Get that for early complimentary on-site assessment to start that process, because you got to have that data backed up, because once it's gone, you're in real trouble.
Now, when you say band of the week, are you mean like a a music band or a like high school marching band of the week?
We're not with Flex. We're not leaving anybody out. I mean, it's football, it's volleyball here in the fall, and band, because we know those band dude, they're over there all day. They play on Friday night, and then the band goes out and they have to go do their competitions on Saturday.
Friday mornings during the fall, living downtown, you can hear the Austin High band warming up.
How cool is that?
Pretty fun.
Well, and what would Friday night football be without the marching band?
No doubt.
Without the pomp and the you get in the
it's part of the Friday night lights package.
Totally. And those kids and those young people work just as hard as a football team to be as good as they can be. That's what it's all about. So we will be honoring that. And Data Savior, a big part of that as well, which we're excited about. And, you know, we'll end up with a Flex Band of the Year kind of thing, and it's going to be pretty cool. So we're excited about our Flex coverage.
How's the buoy band?
Zay?
Is it buoy?
I see him out there practicing.
Yeah.
If you ever drive down Slaughter, they're getting after it.
Yeah, buoy band don't play no games.
Okay.
They performed at the Macy's Parade
nice.
A couple of times.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. National Fajita Day. Where are your favorite fajitas? This says in my backyard. HEB fajitas off my big green egg can't be topped. That's pretty good. I mean, fajitas is one of those things you can do on your own pretty well.
Yeah,
I
base Mexican restaurants on two things: the salsa and the fajitas. If you mess up fajitas,
yes,
beat it.
I thought you were going to say margaritas too, but
no. Yeah. I'm talking good quality Mexican food. Absolutely, to salsa for me is the biggest.
It is, and fajitas
and Mottie's to me has the best salsa in town.
Well, you know, we got the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline. I can't tell you how many times.
Now, they've got good fajitas as well.
Vaquero's rocks the fajitas, my friends. Those things are tremendous. And I don't want to make everybody hungry.
Making me hungry. It's early.
I know. It's only 7:30. Hey, but look, it is 7:30, but the big storylines are out there. Apparently, Coach Sarkisian knows or has an idea of who his quarterback is going to be. He's going to announce it soon, so we're debating that conversation. We mentioned Brett Beatty with that home run. Second pitch he saw last night was pretty awesome. I was surprised the Rangers dropped to hammer on John Daniels yesterday. I guess I shouldn't be. I actually talked to some good buddies who are.
How long has he been there?
17 years.
Wow.
So John Daniels was the wunderkin, the architect. He built them into the team that, you know, and of course the tug of war between he and Nolan Ryan for control of the team, that whole thing. I mean, it's this goes way back, and of course John Daniels. It's falling apart. I mean,
was he part of that Billy Bean, you know, analytics?
Yeah, he got the job at 28.
Yeah,
He's 28 years old when he's named the GM. They were in the World Series, of course, in 11 and you know, built great teams. But this last, you know, since 11, it's just slid back. You know, Adrian Beltre retired. I mean, the core of that team moved on, and they haven't replaced it. There's not a lot of leadership. There's not a lot of pitching in the system. I know the Ranger fans say they're coming. There are now, but
right.
And then they look down the street there and see the Astros just continuing to load and reload and reload and reload. I'm sure that's frustrating for the ownership group. But John Daniels out, Chris Young takes over. That's a big baseball story this morning as well. But hey, it is our Horn Top 20 countdown. We are to number 7. Let's hit it.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 7, the Baylor Bears.
All right, Baylor Bears. Baylor Bears, you know, it's... I thought Ari Temkin said it well last hour when we talked to Ari from SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. If you put Baylor's line to scrimmage with Texas's skill talent, you might have a national championship contender. That's how, because Baylor's replacing all of their production at the running back position, breaking in a new quarterback, receivers, and then on the defensive side to see Jalen Petrie starting for the Texans, Terrell Bernard, the do everything linebacker who could do. I mean, both of those guys on any play could be doing who knows what, right? They're blitzing the quarterback. In coverage, playing the run, forcing turnovers. Those two dudes were highly productive, and they're off to the National Football League as well, Johnny. But you've been around football your whole life. When you start a football team with the best offensive line in the conference and the best defensive line in the conference, and that defensive line, especially on the interior, might be the best in the nation or one of the best in the nation, you're starting with good. You're starting with a really good foundation.
You know, Dave Aranda came in there as a defensive-minded guy, and really Baylor's offense last year was incredible.
Well, you know, if Texas fans are looking for optimism of how can you go from 5-7 to being a conference contender, it's Baylor.
Yeah.
You know, Baylor was terrible in Dave Aranda's first year. But I always say any coach that took over during COVID, I mean, that was hard for all.
That was tough.
That was hard for coaches who have been coaching for 20 years.
No doubt.
And had established their programs. To take over a program during that was chaos.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dave Aranda, they fielded a football team the year previous and won 2 ball games. And their offense was dreadful. And so give Dave Aranda the credit to have the foresight.
Jeff Grimes, the offense coordinator, did a great job with Bohannon last year. I'm anxious to see what he can do with Sapp.
Well, that's the point, right? I mean, Dave Aranda said, okay, he fired most of his offensive staff and said, we need a new identity on offense. And they went to BYU and plucked Jeff Grimes, who came in and installed that spread run, you know, the power run game, the wide zone game, and fit perfectly with what they wanted to do, and you know, took Abram Smith, and he became a workhorse running back. And so they were a run-based team a year ago with a great defense. This year, I think Blake Shapen makes them a more of a passing threat and a passing team. Who are the weapons going to be on the outside? Who are they going to hand the rock to becomes a question. But, man, best offensive line in the Big 12 Conference, 1-5 across the board, and then the defensive front, really strong.
Yeah, you want to win ball games, you got to have big humans up front.
Yes, that's Sark. And they have big humans who have been playing for a while. You know, they have 6 returning offensive starters, but that whole offensive line is back. I mean, that whole offensive line is back, including Connor Galvin, the senior left tackle, who might be the best offensive lineman in the Big 12. So you're starting with an anchor at left tackle. And that's where, you know, Texas could have a freshman at left tackle. He might be good, but Connor Galvin.
Might have a couple freshmen on that offensive
Connor
line.
Galvin is... You know, been there and done that. So Baylor is tremendous. I really like Blake Shapen too, and obviously he won that job. You know, if you saw Blake Shapen late in the year and then in the Sugar Bowl, he's just one of those baseball players, right? He plays shortstop. I mean, he's got that arm. He can fling it from different
platforms.
He's got
a presence about himself too. He's got that moxie that you want in a quarterback. So be anxious to see how they do this
year. Yeah, I like him, and he can make throws off schedule. I like, and he's athletic. I mean, he's an athletic player. Like me some Blake Shapen. So that's where Baylor is. Now we're going to talk to Craig Smoak. Does great radio up there and a podcast up in Waco. We'll get the intel with him later on in the show on the goings-on camp, who are going to be the leaders at running back and receiver and who replaces Terrell Bernard and Jalen Petrie. But the foundation is set for Baylor to be a real good team. And, again, Dave Aranda's just a real good coach. He's a really, really good coach. It's funny, your brothers are coaches in the NFL, Johnny. Your dad was a coach. You know, different ways to do it.
No doubt.
And it's the contrast is so interesting to me. Watching Hard Knocks last night on HBO, the episode 2, I mean, Dan Campbell comes off as kind of a meathead.
He is a meathead.
But then you listen to him, and it's genuine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a genuine thing. He cares for his players. He played the game. He believes in his. I thought last night when he was talking about, guys, the one thing's going to set me off, because they're about to play their first preseason game. Mm-hmm. And he said, if I turn around and you got, you know, essentially the back of the roster here, these guys that aren't going to make the team, if they're out there working their tails off to earn a spot and you guys are on this the sidelines not paying attention and jacking around and disrespecting your teammates, he said. So you over here, fourth quarter of a meaningless preseason game, you need to be engaged.
Yeah,
leave your pads on, root for your teammates, and if I see otherwise, I'm going to lose it. I mean, this is a guy who's in it with this. This is how you earn the respect of your players, right?
Right. And I'm just curious if, you know, if Kleenex was taking up the sponsorship for Hard Knocks, because I've never seen more crying in pro sports.
I know.
And it's genuine. It's not a fake deal. Like Dan Campbell, he wants to win so bad. And all he's asking these guys to do is, hey, trust me. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to put you in the right positions for success.
Yeah.
I've been there. I know what it takes. We've got and their coaching staff is a lot different than a lot of coaching staffs around the NFL. A lot of former players.
By design.
By design.
Aaron Glenn is the defensive coordinator. He spoke last night to the team ahead of
Deuce
the
Deuce Daly, running back coach.
And Deuce is all up in DeAndre Swift, the running back. He needs more out of the former Georgia Bulldog. It's good. Yeah, right. And that's why I say different ways to skin a cat. Everyone's, I mean, your brother coaches with Brandon Staley in the Chargers. I mean, he is analytics, young guy. Gosh, he was coaching at like Mount Union or something 6 years ago. Now he's an NFL coach. Dan Campbell did 12 years in the NFL. He knows it. He knows the grind. But he's trying to bring what he learned from Bill Parcells along the way and from Sean Payton and combine the two, like really high-level coaching and leadership, but then understanding the player to a level that, man, this guy is with us.
No doubt. And right now I'm on a need to know basis with my brothers, right? So if they want to reach out, I don't try to call them. If they want to say something or, you know, clue me in on maybe a fantasy player or two, I'll get a phone call.
Maybe. Yeah. No,
but that's it's only happened one time in my brothers' careers where they gave me some scoop on a fantasy player, and it was Julius Thomas when nobody had ever heard of him up in Denver.
Oh, yeah, and he became Peyton Manning's go-to tight
end. Yeah, go-to, and he dominated for 3 years. And my brother was like, hey, you may want to pick up this
Julius.
This Julius kid. I was like, where is he from? He's like, oh, he's a basketball player, but he's really good.
I'm not the guy to be watching Hard Knocks and start drafting Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
players.
You don't want to be that guy.
I do think if he's still on the board middle to late in the draft, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the receiver, I think he's going to be a really, really productive player in fantasy in football this year. And DeAndre Swift is going to go in the first round, the running back for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
Hey, Zay Collier, your pops is a coach. You grew up in a coach's house. What's your take on Dan Campbell and his way?
Yeah, it sucks how much I like him. With him being an Aggie, it really sucks. Him and Aaron Glenn out there, yeah, I can't stand it, but he definitely has his team under his finger by how locked in they
are. Boys.
Because he definitely has that Texas twang. And him crying and all, again, he's an Aggie, so he's going to do some suspect things. He's going to do some suspect things, so I wasn't tripping on that. But, yeah, you're going to kind of root for the Lions this year to maybe go 4-14, maybe 5-13.
I just don't think Jared Goff is the guy who can take him there.
No. I mean,
he ain't getting no airtime.
No. I mean, that's another crazy thing. They're not even, they haven't done a storyline on Jared Goff yet. We're halfway done.
Not yet. They did a storyline on the third team quarterback, David Blough, the kid who his wife is the sprinter, the Olympic sprinter, and they told that story pretty well. But he's about to get cut, by the way. Because the reports are out there that the Lions are trying to trade with the Steelers for Mason Rudolph.
When's the last time you've seen any kind of highlight or show on the NFL and it's not mostly about the quarterback? No. It doesn't happen.
Especially since he's already been on the Hard Knocks with the Rams. You would think they would follow up with that, but they haven't done that.
He's not even a side story on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he's the starting QB, though.
Yep.
All right, so we'll come back. The Hot or Not topics are coming your way. We'll take your thoughts on, as he said, it's frustrating how much I like Dan Campbell on that show, and I tend to agree. He does come off as kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin sometimes, you know what I mean, from the world of wrestling.
What?
But it's fun. That's a fun show. Hey, we'll be back. Fun show here, too. Zay's got some thoughts we've missed and stories we missed halfway through this Buck Off Thursday edition.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
No regrets. Johnny and E this morning. Bucky taking today and tomorrow off. He's got some procedures he's got to go through, doctor's orders. He'll be back on Monday. Zay Collier is here as well. He'll lead us through some topics we've missed halfway through this show. It is National Fajita Day. Also, Johnny, you like to get to the gym and get in a workout, right?
GTL, Gym Tan Laundry.
And you're gonna do one this morning, I think. A little workout. What'd you say?
Yeah.
Gym Tan
Laundry.
You do tan? You do go tanning?
No, we're talking Jersey Shore. GTL.
Classic.
Oh, I never saw.
Come on, pick up on it, E.
What was that guy's name?
The Situation.
The Situation.
And DJ Pauly D.
Pauly D, Ronnie, Situation, Snooki.
Oh yeah.
Goats right there.
Well, there's a gym out there that's offering a chain of gyms actually called Blink Fitness that are offering free hypnosis sessions that are supposed to trick your mind into enjoying the experience of exercise. Hypnosis. Try something, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, Zay, you know I'm not hot on this whole, you know, what is it, Sasquatch thing, the whole
Bigfoot myths,
phenomenon.
Legends.
I think we would have found it by now, especially with all our technology. I don't buy it. Also, I'm not buying the Loch Ness Monster story either. That's another one we can put to bed. But so, of course, the Scots believe it, there's a monster living in Loch Ness of some kind. But how about this? Because of the warming temperatures and they're having a severe drought, we saw that at the British Open this past summer in golf, that apparently the lowering of the sea could, they believe, lead to the discovery of the Loch Ness Monster, could force him out of Loch Ness because he needs to go find some food.
I mean, global warming, I'll tell you what, it's now affecting Nessie.
Finally, we'll find out there's nothing in there. There's nothing there.
I've been to Loch Ness.
Have you?
Yeah, I stuck my head in the water.
You buying the myth?
No, did not see Nessie, stuck my head in the water. It was absolutely freezing cold, but it was a cool experience.
Yeah. Zay, where are you on Loch Ness?
I mean, I don't believe it, but I'm also not going out looking for it either.
I don't want to find it.
You're not going scuba diving over in Loch Ness?
Hell no, Johnny. Hell no.
What else do you have there, Zay? What have we missed halfway through this fun Thursday edition?
All right, fellas. So, y'all remember play-action bootleg king Jake Plummer?
Oh, yeah.
Arizona State, Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos quarterback. Yeah, he's an odd guy.
Yeah.
He's an odd guy. So he retired very early to get into the mushroom farmer game.
Ooh, shrooms.
Yep, that's right. Jake Plummer is huge on shrooms, where he says, because of this shrooms and my diet, I expect to live into the 100 teens.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of belief in that those mushrooms extend life. And his, you know, if you eat right, and I get hit by a bus tomorrow, you could run into the Loch Ness Monster and your number's up.
Yeah, you might be taking some mushrooms and sealed.
I saw a video the other day of three people getting struck by lightning sitting under a tree. That's it. Game over for you. But, yeah, there are things you can do to prolong life. But I will tell you this. My good friend Dan Neal, of course, played football in Texas and the Denver Broncos. Dan Neal told me this story once that, like, they had John Elway leading them to the Super Bowl when he first got there. His first 2 years, Dan was a part of a Super Bowl championship team. And then Jake Plummer came in, and he said, Jake Plummer is the weirdest dude. I mean, weirdest dude you'll ever. Like, you
have to just a stud.
But, yeah, but just a weird guy.
Yeah, weird cat.
You can't go from John Elway to Jake Plummer is like, wow, that is culture shock. But, yeah, he's, you know, you said it. He went on to be like a handball champion. I mean, he was there at Arizona State. Wasn't he there with Pat Tillman?
Yeah.
That was a cool storyline. Jake the Snake. And, look, am I hot on whether mushrooms can allow you to live into your – you know, big triple digits.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers lives to about 120, we'll find out. He's probably been on some of those mushroom trips as well.
By the way, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I saw a movie last night that I hadn't seen with his now ex-girlfriend. What's her name?
Shailene
Woodley.
Yeah.
What is this movie called? The Fault in Our Stars. Have you ever seen this?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
My wife sucks me into this last night. I'm like, what do I need this tearjerker for? two teenagers with cancer?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And she does it. By the way,
was it My Girl?
No, it's called Fault in Our Stars or whatever. I mean, it is a sad movie.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Christopher Walken's in it. He plays a creepy. I mean, it's well done, and she's a really good actress. She is really good. I had not seen that film. I had seen her in, I don't know, she was in that TV show. It was on HBO. I don't know, but it was a good movie. Pretty good movie. Oh, she was also, Shailene Woodley was in The Descendants. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
With
She's been in the game for a while.
And she's a good actress. So, I don't know. Yeah, got suckered into that deal. So I'm streaming the Astros game on my phone. So while we're watching this movie.
Married life.
All of a sudden you're crying. Tears are coming down. The kids are dying. I don't want to spoil it, but man, it's a sad movie. All right, we're back. We'll reset those headlines. How about Brett Beatty, the local product last night? He's leading the top story at SportsCenter after what he did. We'll get you details coming next on B&E.